This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Many theorists have written about it, about the context of what's known as the male gaze. You know, for example, the effect of people's perceptions and how it influences, for example, just the process of observing and how it creates the connotations between the sitter and the seated. So what we have here is, I suppose, different artists applying different strategies in order to address that idea of the gaze, and also using the body as a template, a metaphor, I suppose, in order to kind of express what do they think of when they attend a session, when they draw, sit down and draw and try to convey as much information as what they see.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. I have two visual artists in the studio who are part of an ongoing and activist body template group exhibition at Minute Init Art Social in Uptown Damansara Utama. And they are Brendan Wickham and Eve Yap. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
You both paint and draw. What's your favourite medium? We'll start with you, Eve.
Currently, my favourite medium will be watercolour. And sometimes I play around with ink. I think I like the fluidity of these mediums. But once in a while, I will try out acrylics and pastels, soft pastels.
In this exhibition, which has a very complicated name, the Enactivist Body Template Group Exhibition, how many works do you have?
I have 8 works over there, mainly inks and pastels.
When you say inks, I assume then there'll be black ink.
Not necessarily. It can be like the fountain pen ink comes in like different colours. I'm also using like black ink. I think the attribute of inks is able to squink. Have you heard of the term squink?
No.
It's like, unlike watercolour, if you dilute it, if you put a wash over it, it spreads out but it's in the same colour. But ink, I think it's made of dyes, different colours of dyes. So when you add on colours to it, it spreads to like a range of different colours. So it's different in
that bit. So ink will have different shades as opposed
shades, to... Shades, yeah, different shades.
As opposed to watercolour will have a more consistent shade colour.
Yes,
great. Now, Brendan, what's your medium?
It depends on what's available, actually. So... in the case of drawing sessions, normally we tend to use a lot of dry pigments. I'm starting to use a bit more water-based
medium.
When
you say dry pigments, what do you mean?
Right. Well, strain, I suppose, in an academic tradition, so quite a bit of charcoal, pencil, graphite, pastel.
Those are your dry medium,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to ink and paint and oil. Those would be considered wet?
I suppose so, yes. And occasionally we do use small-scale oil studies, partly because, like with watercolours as well, oil studies allow you to experiment and create iterations of the work. Like you can create several versions of it at the same time. So it allows for quick sketching as well.
For this exhibition, how many works do you have?
Oh, I just have 2 right now. So they're both small studies and...
When you say small studies, what do you mean by that?
9 by 12 inches. So about around A4 size, I suppose.
Those are considered small.
Yeah.
What dimensions must they be in before you consider them no longer small sized?
I'm not really sure. It's one of those questions. It's like how long is a piece of string? It's really subjective.
True, but at the same time, you have these definitions that you guys are using in order to call this small size. Small size must therefore fit into certain dimensions before you would call it small size. So what stage do they cease to be small sized?
I suppose until they start occupying the entire allocated wall space.
You can't put it on the table, you have to hang it.
Yep.
Oh, so
something
what can sit on a table is considered small size?
I think so.
More or less, yeah.
You're both part of this community of life drawing, and that, I suppose, is very much about drawing figures.
Yes.
What for you is the difficult thing about drawing a figure?
First of all, I think human figure is a very complex subject.
Why more complex than anything? I'm asking from the perspective of all of us who are non-artists, you know, drawing a stick figure, drawing a table, drawing anything is difficult already. Why is drawing a human being more difficult?
Well, human being can be very flexible. You can, like, pose in so many poses, so many different manners. With each pose, the form can be completely different. So this is one of the aspects. And on top of that, human comes with a very complex expressive features. Like, I believe we can consider human being the most expressive being.
Or that we are reading into them because we are also human beings.
Yes, yes, yes. We connect the most to human, being human ourselves, yeah.
For you, Brendan, what is the difficult thing about drawing human beings?
I think trying to get a likeness. When you're drawing from life with the model or sitter physically in front of you, there is a pressure of sorts. I suppose subconsciously for us to try our best to capture as much as we can, given the short time frame. Now, the problem is that as with anything, it's always limited by A, time constraints, B, usually the limitations are medium, and for example, like size or the type of medium that you're using. And the third one, normally, is quite an interesting question that was still kind of being explored by all of us at the group exhibition, namely, what do you want to get out from it? Like, are you fulfilling your own expectations and demands as an artist? Or are you also like allowing the model sitter to also have a say and to also dictate or to also like be involved in the mark-making creative process?
You mentioned this thing about capturing the likeness. How important is capturing the likeness? Because sometimes we don't even see the face of the person. When you say capturing the likeness, all of us think in terms of, you know, the Mona Lisa portraiture.
For the purposes of, when talking about figurative drawing and painting, I suppose it's capturing gesture, essentials mainly, because due to lack of time, no one could ever truly get a perfect likeness. Something as simple as one of Picasso's line drawings, for example, or take like the American Expressionist Franz Klein, a series of gestural lines is enough to capture the essential spirit of a composition. And I think those kind of strategies are far more effective given that it appears spontaneous, doesn't labor to overwork, kind of captures the essentials of what needs to be said.
So I assume that when you do portraiture where somebody commissions you to paint them, it's over an extended period. Capturing the likeness is probably something that you strive for and perhaps might be a goal in itself, one of the intentions, and perhaps also catching the expression. But in a live drawing session when you have only a couple of hours,
Much shorter than that. Yeah, some poses can be just 5 minutes. I have done like 2 minute session, but that's more like a warm up. We normally start from 5 minutes.
So in those though, what are you trying to capture?
Okay. Basically, because of the time constraint, it's actually a liberation for me doing these live drawing sessions because of the time constraint as well. You don't have the liberty to think too much. So whatever you see in front of you, it flows from your eyes to the brain and to the hands and out on the canvas. So it's a very fluid process. So I think this is very liberating for some of the artists. You know, in that short period of time, you just keep expressing and not stopping and thinking, and you get stuck sometimes when you do that. I think this is what I try to achieve in every session. What I consider as a good session is when I feel everything that is so smooth, is coming so smoothly, and by the end of the session, you get a nice picture drawing.
Okay, I think others would probably say it much better. I'd also quote my previous tutor, Christopher Hansen, and in which he said that if you have to put something down, make sure it's as correct as you can possibly make it. So it doesn't matter. Like, as again, it's a very subjective question as to how much you want to put down on paper, given the time frame, given the type of medium that you're using. Even a simple continuous line drawing done in a few seconds can convey a lot of intent, message, I guess, if we were to do it with a bit of deliberation. So, for example, always having some sort of, I suppose it's more technical, but having some sort of initial set goal in mind, such as, for example, capturing a certain gesture or practicing like a certain technical part which you're not really familiar with. Simple goals like those tend to generate the strongest work, I suppose.
What you're saying, Eve and Brendan, is that each artist goes in with a different idea, but at the same time, because you are limited by time, there is also the sense of being freed. Even though you think technically, because you have only these 5 minutes, you just go to.
Yes.
And to some extent, what you seem to be doing strikes me as very much what performers try to do when they're on stage.
Yes, exactly.
They just want to be free.
Yes.
And just go. You have learned your techniques and whatever skills that you have to acquire to do that piece of work. But once you are in the execution mode, it's like,
free.
Don't think anymore.
Yes.
Just do
free,
it.
Free, yes. Mm-hmm. Be spontaneous, yeah. And it reflects on the work.
Beyond the works that we walk in to see, I assume then that the title of the exhibition is to give us a way of accessing this. If we go into the portrait gallery in London, you go in and you see one portrait after another, but they're more than just portraits. You're not just looking at like photographs of, you know, passport photographs of different people. There is an attitude. There is a sense of who this person is. In this exhibition, because of the name of it, the Enactivist Body Template, what's the access for us into it? What does the title suggest for us?
Enactivist. Well, in a way, you could understand it from what the definition of the word enact is, or connotations of it. Enact, to recreate, I suppose, to reproduce, to create iterations of. Looking at different processes, different ways of seeing, ways of doing, and ways of expressing, I suppose. Because the good thing about the group exhibition is that partly one of the curators as well, Linda, she was able to get together a large range of different practicing artists. And also the models also involved as well. So we have a different sort of work. We have conventional painting and drawing. We've got prints as well. And we've got even things like poems written and framed as well.
Yeah, poems and photography.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Photography, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Prints, it's a bit of a stretch how that is achieved in a live session. But poetry is something that now is totally different. It's outside my imagination in that during a session, somebody just sits there and writes poems?
Not
is
really.
That what
it's,
it is?
The poet actually gets inspiration from our live drawing session. Yeah, and she's also one of the models. So I believe as a model, you are also a performer and also an artist, I believe so. I believe that they're acting in a way. It's just that it's acting in a pose, in one pose each time. So they themselves have emotion that they would like to express. And for this particular poet, she writes it out as well.
Going back to what you said then, Brendan, that, you know, the whole question of the artist capturing the image, and because the image in this context is another human being, so what at the end of the day is the final image that is captured? There is that interaction between the person who's seeing and drawing and the person who is being seen, and at the same time projecting something to be seen.
Yep. I suppose you can use the term dialogue. So it's always an ongoing dialogue, because figurative works, and especially this whole tradition of posing for figurative works, it's quite a sort of like a, you can almost say it's got a quite long history behind it. Many theories have written about it, about the context of what's known as the male gaze. You know, for example, the effect of people's perceptions and how it influences, like for example, just the process of observing and how it creates like connotations between the sitter and the seated. So what we have here is, I suppose, different artists applying different strategies in order to address that idea of the gaze, and also using the body as a template, a metaphor, I suppose, in order to kind of express what do they think of in, when they attend a session, when they draw, sit down and draw and try to convey as much information as what they see. And especially when we have our sitters involved as well and producing work, we get to see another side to it. Especially, like, you know, sometimes it's a bit difficult because each person's thoughts are, people normally do not convey their thoughts to others. So it's nice to see as well, like, what do sitters think as well when they have to sit for a session? Because it is quite a difficult transaction, let's just say that. Because the part of the process is that you are expending energy, and there's also a process of transfer between both the sitter and the artist as well.
You are talking like somebody who is an actor, because actors always talk about, you know, actors always talk about, when I'm performing, I'm receiving energy from the audience.
Yes.
Being gazed at changes the performer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Being appreciated, I think they felt that way, and not judge, not really judge.
Well, actors are always judged.
But I think what we are having here, it's pretty healthy. It's a healthy environment where a group of people with same interests comes together and just create works.
Would it be fair to say, somebody like me who is not an artist and like many of my listeners, we go to an exhibition like this, and in a way, one of the questions that will confront us is, how do we look at other people?
Ah, and that one really does determine the nature of the person as well. Like the way in which they chose to portray, to selectively portray and to edit out and cut out certain things in their work, really does tell as well, personality-wise. It's a bit subjective, and it's very hard to say that because, like, you know, art, I suppose, has no, and I do not support, like, any kind of specific value judgments for art. It's, you know, everyone has a different way of approaching it, so it's no such thing as a fixed standard for it. But
sure. Like you were just saying, you know, one is the person who is being drawn.
Mm-hmm.
That's the contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then the artist who chooses or selects what to represent. And then the third person
is the viewer,
yes, who comes in and say, you know, this is represented here. And then it evokes some kind of a memory or an evaluation of yourself. That's the possibility.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah? Now, beyond this exhibition, I know it ends on Sunday, December 10th. But in the interim, there are other things that are happening at this Minute In It art space, and there are workshops.
Yes, there are a couple of workshops from few of our fellow artists. It's stated in the pamphlet as well.
Yeah, there's silk screen printing.
Yes.
The thing that struck me, that's one that you are conducting, right, Brendan?
Yep.
And it's called A Limited Palette Sight-Size Portraiture Workshop. What the heck is that?
Okay. All right, so sight size is a way of a certain kind of way of drawing, of seeing. Limited palette refers to a certain way of painting or drawing.
So it's a technique.
Yes. It's later on, then it's informed by, like, you know, the setup and the environment and everything and how the work progresses. But that's, I suppose, the gist of it if you were to give like a general idea. So it's a portrait painting workshop, but it's done using a certain working method. So this working method is informed by my previous training. The workshop's a bit of an open event in which there will be a canvas set next to the model stand. The model will be seated on a podium with a fixed lighting. So it's, the setup is similar to contemporary academic school setup. And we have like a couple of extra extra easels like laid out on the side, so participants could also bring in like a drawing pads, and they could also bring like drawing materials as well to join in and draw. It's more like a drawing session itself.
The Anactivist Body Template Group Exhibition will continue through Sunday, December 10th at Minute Init Art Social in Uptown Damansara Utama, Petaling Jaya. And while the exhibition is going on, there will also be fee-paying workshops. This Saturday, December 2nd, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m, a silkscreen printing workshop. Then on Friday, December 8th, from 7:30 to 10 p.m, a limited palette site-size portraiture workshop. Then on Saturday, December 9th, woodworking. And then on Sunday, December 10th at 3 p.m, an auction, and the proceeds will go to the Ruma Hope charity. So for more information, go to Minute Init Art Social's Facebook page and website. Thank you both for coming in.
Okay, thank you. So,
this is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.